This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
How do custom orders work on Kraken? Imagine I'm a music producer, dialing in my newest track. Need more bass? Crank it. Vocals not popping? Double it up. Want a bigger sound? Hit that reverb. Hard. That's custom orders on Kraken. Complete control over your crypto trades. Go to Kraken.com and see what crypto can be. Not investment advice. Crypto trading involves risk of loss. Cryptocurrency services are provided to U.S. and U.S. territory customers by Hayward Interactive Inc. View PWI's disclosures on Kraken.com/legal/disclosures.
Election Day is less than 3 weeks away, and there's one agency led by one public servant tasked with overseeing election security. Her name is Jenny Sterley. She's a West Point grad, an Army veteran, and a former Rhodes Scholar. And now she runs CISA, which stands for Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency.
We were stood up at the end of 2018 to play two key roles. We serve as America's cyber defense agency and as the national coordinator for critical infrastructure resilience and security. So the mission is to lead the national effort to understand, manage, and reduce risk to the cyber and physical infrastructure that Americans rely on every hour of every day for water, for power, for communication, for healthcare, for transportation, for finance.
And right now, for democracy. Yes, America's national election infrastructure is managed locally, run by individual cities, counties, and towns. But Easterly and her team are the point people for November 5th and what comes after. So today on the show, a conversation with Jenny Easterly about election threats, cybersecurity, and what to do when one candidate questions the voting process. I'm Lizzie O'Leary, and you're listening to What Next TBD, a show about technology, power, and how the future will be determined. Stick around.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can be a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill, too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help find you options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
Have you heard about Doublenomics? It's okay if you haven't. It's extremely niche and practiced by Discover. Here's an example. Discover automatically doubles the cash back earned on your credit card at the end of your first year with Cashback Match. That means with Discover, you could turn $150 cash back to $300. It pays to Discover. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Director Easterly, thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
You've been saying for months that the 2024 election is secure. You said in a cybersecurity live event last month that U.S. elections have never been more secure. What does that look like in practice?
So just to give a little bit more context to it, in the aftermath of Russian attempts to interfere and influence the 2016 presidential election, election infrastructure was specifically designated as critical infrastructure, and CISA was made the federal government lead for election infrastructure security, meaning that we work with state and local election officials who are the ones that run elections. They are on the front lines of defending democracy, administering, managing, and securing our elections. So I have witnessed firsthand how tirelessly these state and local election officials work to ensure that every one of their votes are counted as cast. But let me tell you specifically why. First of all, Americans should understand that the systems that they use to cast their vote are not connected to the internet. Second, over the past 8 years since that designation, election officials have put multiple layers of safeguard in place to protect that election infrastructure. This includes pre-election testing of systems to ensure accuracy, enhanced cybersecurity protections, physical access controls, and post-election audits. Three, over 97% of Americans will cast their votes in jurisdictions where they will have a paper record that they themselves can verify. And finally, it's important to understand that states run elections differently. The saying goes, if you've seen one state's election, you've seen one state's election. They're different processes, different equipment. But the reality is that this diversity, this decentralized nature of our election infrastructure actually creates enormous resilience in that it prevents a single point of failure. So that's why I have such confidence in the integrity and security of our election processes and infrastructure, and why I believe the American people should as well.
You know, in these trips that you've taken to all these different jurisdictions, one of the things you've done is talk to local elections workers. And we have seen workers in Michigan, Arizona, Georgia, even people at CISA be threatened. There was a CISA staffer who told CBS she got threats like, we're going to hang you. I hope somebody puts a bullet in your head. How do you get people to show up and do their jobs in that kind of environment?
Yeah, you know, thanks for raising this, because it is one of the most outrageous things that is happening in our country. Let's just be clear here. These hundreds of thousands of election workers who are serving on the front lines of defending our democracy, they're not a bunch of faceless bureaucrats. They're our neighbors. They're our friends. They're our family members. They are in our community, and they're not doing it for pay. They're not doing it for glory. They're doing it because they believe in our democracy, and they deserve our respect. They deserve our support. They deserve our gratitude, and they damn well deserve to be safe. And the good news is that despite the harassment, the swatting, the bullying, the threats of violence.
Yeah, you got swatted, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. So I have a visceral understanding of what it's like to feel threatened physically. You know, I'm a 21-year Army retiree, combat veteran, so I've been in situations that have been pretty precarious, but many of the election workers have not. They deserve to be safe. One of the big problems here is that these threats of violence to election officials and their families largely stem from unfounded claims of election fraud, from unfounded claims that the 2020 election did not represent the will of the American people. And we need to come together as Americans and realize that this is corrosive to the foundations of our democracy.
But that's such a fundamental, difficult thing to deal with when you have one candidate who disputes that, right? Like, how do you get the supporters of former President Trump to have faith in the electoral process when their candidate is saying, we lost and it was stolen?
Yeah, so I would say a couple things about this. First, you know, we are the oldest democracy in the world, and we are the greatest democracy in the world. And that is because of our freedoms, our civil liberties, and our civil rights, including freedom of speech. That said, I think it is incredibly unfortunate and outrageously irresponsible for anyone, regardless of party or politics, anyone in a position of power or authority, to be spreading disinformation that essentially undermines American trust in our democratic institutions and in our electoral processes. You know, I tell you, the spreading of this disinformation is actually doing the job of our foreign adversaries for us, for them, because we know that our foreign adversaries, Russia, Iran, China, are intent on spreading disinformation and lies about our election process, specifically to influence the American people. They're focused on, again, undermining trust in American institutions and our democracy and sowing partisan discord. They're outrageous, they're irresponsible, they're unacceptable, and they're un-American.
Let's talk about misinformation, disinformation. Previously, your department would go to a social media company, petition them to remove inaccurate posts, flag things about the election. But last month, you told reporters that you're no longer going to be doing that. Can you walk me through how that decision was made? What changed?
Absolutely. So in 2020, in the Trump administration, my predecessor and his team had worked with state and local election officials across the country, because part of our role is to support them. They had a lot of concerns off the back of 2016 about disinformation coming in that might affect how people vote, could affect where polling places are located, the time of polling, threats that might be at a polling place. And so what these state and local election officials of both parties across the country did was they would send information that would come to CISA, and CISA would then send it to the relevant social media platform and basically say, this information's coming from a state or local election official. There's concerns about it being inaccurate information. Can you take a look at it? And it came with a disclaimer that said, we're not telling you what to do with this information. And of course, CISA is not a law enforcement agency. We're not a regulator. We are entirely a voluntary agency. So we have no coercive powers at all to tell anybody to do anything. We were just asked to send this information to social media companies. When I came on board in 2021, I looked at that activity, which in the huge amount of information in our digital ecosystem now was around 200 pieces of information, which I thought was pretty inconsequential in terms of what was getting sent. And I frankly did not think that it was worth the resources or the efforts to be taking this information and sending it to social media companies. So I made the decision that our resources could be better deployed by focusing very specifically on what we could do to put out accurate information about election infrastructure security. So I focused the mission on really three things: working with our federal government partners, the FBI and the intelligence community, on helping the American people and election officials understand the tactics being used by our foreign adversaries and what mitigations we could take. Most importantly, and it goes back to my point about every state runs things differently, we are amplifying the voices of state and local election officials who are the experts. And so the National Association of Secretaries of State, NAS.org, has a campaign, Trusted Info 2024. You can go on the webpage and go to information about your state and find specific information if you have questions about how voting works, how your vote is protected. I think if anybody on this call has skepticism about the security and integrity of the voting process, about whether their vote will be counted as cast, I would urge two things. First of all, be a part of the process. Sign up to be a poll worker. Be part of the ecosystem that defends our democracy, and you will see yourself how the system works and how votes and the infrastructure are protected. Two, if you have questions, go to your state or local election official and talk to them. It's a transparent process. They want to walk you through and give you confidence that your vote will be counted as cast, as much confidence as I personally have.
You also said recently, talking about foreign states, malicious actors, even if they tried, could not have an impact at scale such there'd be a material effect on the outcome of the election. And I hear you for, you know, a DDoS attack, ransomware. But I think one of the things that is so complicated and concerning about the information environment today is that things can be small and still have an effect. For example, the series of right-wing influencers who, it turns out, were part of a Russian influence operation. They had an effect, and the internet amplifies that effect.
Well, 100%. I mean, the other thing that's changed since 2020 is just a very fractured information environment. There are more platforms, more voices out there. And frankly, on many of these platforms, there is no real meaningful effort to police disinformation and to provide accurate information. So that's part of the problem as well. But we make the distinction between influence operations, as you just said, and I think you were alluding to the recent indictment of Russian government-related individuals.
Yes.
Who were filtering almost $10 million to likely unwitting influencers who were essentially the instrument of Russian messages to Americans. I mean, how can that be acceptable, right? And so kudos to DOJ for getting that indictment. And I would give a lot of credit to DOJ, the intelligence community, and my agency for being much more proactive in getting information out about what our foreign adversaries are doing and actually disrupting it. You know, that is the good news on that. But that influence is different from what we've not seen yet, and that is actual efforts to interfere in election infrastructure. You know, you hear about this hacking into voting systems and flipping votes. And I have to say, as the head of America's Cyber Defense Agency, that is preposterous. It is not possible for malicious actors to hack into a voting machine in a way that would have a material impact on the outcome of the vote, certainly not without being detected. And I go back to the points that, again, all Americans really need to understand. Those voting systems, not connected to the internet, multiple layers of safeguards, over 97% paper ballots, and massively decentralized election infrastructure to prevent a single point of contact, a single point of failure in anything impacting the vote.
When we come back, how much of an election threat is generative AI?
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states and situations.
Don't freak out, but Monster Tacos are back at Jack in the Box. Classic Monster Tacos are back with a crunchy, cheesy vengeance, and you can get two for $3. Or try the new $3 mummy-wrapped Monster Taco, loaded with nacho cheese and bacon, wrapped in a soft flour tortilla. Kind of makes you wish all mummies were this delicious and cheesy. Order now at Jack in the Box.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You know, one of the biggest changes since the 2020 election is the emergence of generative AI, that it can be used to create images, it could be used to create video, pretty convincing audio. How concerning is that to you?
Yeah, it is pretty concerning. And I wrote an article about this earlier this year that sort of talks about the impact of generative AI capabilities, which, as you know, are still evolving, but they're evolving very rapidly.
Yeah.
Our analysis, and we published this early in the year, our analysis was that these capabilities will exacerbate current threats, though they will not be fundamental game changers. So certainly in the information that we put out to date, there was a advisory that came out from the intelligence community specifically about the use of generative AI capabilities, and they are being used to generate false content, whether that's text or video or audio. But as far as we can discern, they are not having game-changing effects. So a couple things happening here. I think, as you recall, there was the robocall that occurred around the New Hampshire primary.
The call, which was made to sound like President Biden, told people not to vote in the primary.
You know the value of voting Democratic when our votes count. It's important that you save your vote for the November election. We'll need your help in electing Democrats up and down the ticket. Voting this Tuesday only enables the Republicans in their quest to elect Donald Trump again. Your vote makes a difference in November, not this Tuesday. If you would like to be removed from future calls, please press 2 now.
So essentially, it was evidence of a crime of suppression of the vote. And you had the Attorney General come out and say that. Then you had the chief election official, Dave Scanlon, use all of his platforms and communication to get that word out. And then that was actually a crime that was prosecuted. So these are ways that election officials are preparing to deal with the potential for AI having an impact on elections. There was a recent article where Secretary of State Adrian Fontes, right, across the country, but this is happening everywhere. He's in Arizona, and they did a lot of work to prepare their clerks for potential deepfake videos and audios as they went through exercises. And that's one of the things that we do at CISA. We've run in this election cycle over 180 different tabletop exercises, and we work through scenarios like this. If a election official is being deepfake, saying things that they didn't say. And there's been work, obviously, with the generative AI companies to help police this. I know OpenAI recently removed the use of some of these capabilities that were generating content, false content related to the election. So it is a problem for this election cycle. I do not think it is a game changer. And the good news is that election officials have been preparing for this as they prepare for any other type of contingency or threat or risk, and they are ready to meet the moment.
How do you think people who are listening to this, you know, it's not that far from the election. Let's say they see something that feels weird to them. They get a robocall that says, oh, actually, election day is November 7th, or they see something on X or Instagram. What should they do?
Well, part of the issue is a lot of this information is designed to get your heart beating pretty fast. I mean, a lot of the, you know, enragement equals engagement. And so there could be a lot, there's a lot of information out there to include things like non-citizen voting, which is not a thing, that are attempting to rile people up and fundamentally undermine their confidence in our democratic institutions. And so if people see things that just doesn't feel right, doesn't sound right, first off, I think you need to be thoughtful about it and not amplify that information. But if you have real questions around it, go to your state and local election official, go to their webpage, go to make a phone call to your local election officials and ask them what the accurate information is, because it really is on all of us to protect and preserve our democracy, which is incredibly precious, but incredibly fragile. And there are forces out there of, you know, who are maliciously trying to undermine American confidence in democracy. You know, we're talking about the elections, of course, but let me bring this into the realm of cybersecurity.
Yeah.
We have cyber criminals and nation state adversaries who sponsor those cyber criminals who are trying to do exactly that.
Well, I mean, we've seen this from Russia and Iran in this cycle already.
Well, absolutely. But, you know, these may be folks that aren't trying to necessarily undermine the election, but they just may be trying to lay down ransomware on your systems so they can extort you into paying to get your data back. And we actually have a campaign, you know, it is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, October. We have a campaign called Secure Our World to help Americans understand the very basic things that they need to do to protect themselves from these malicious cyber actors. And it's things like keeping your software updated, using complex unique passwords in a password manager, using two-step authentication or multi-factor authentication, MFA. And the last one is recognize and report phishing. There's actually a separate campaign called Take Nine, which is wait 9 seconds before you react to clicking on a link, whether it's a link in an email or a link in a text, because these things could be trying to create a sense of rage or a sense of urgency or a sense of confusion that is either going to have you end up making a bad decision about your trust in election infrastructure, a really bad decision that gets your accounts and your data stolen by a cyber criminal. So we all just need to take a step back and really think critically about the information that we're seeing and do our best to make sure that when it comes to certainly election security, we are going to the trusted source.
We have talked so much about building up to November 5th. But I wonder what your plan is for November 6th, 7th, 8th, because if this election is close, if there are accusations of fraud or wrongdoing, how does your department handle that? Is that something that you're actively focused on right now?
Oh, 100%. Look, we have to understand that, you know, elections will not be over when the polls close. There is, of course, unofficial results that may be posted, but those are unofficial. There is a lot of work that election officials have to do to certify the vote. And frankly, in states where the vote may be very close, in the so-called battleground states, it may take, as it did in 2020, a couple days to fully count the vote to make sure that it is accurate. That's why Americans need to be patient. And frankly, you would want election officials to go through the very rigorous process that they go through to ensure that that vote is accurate. One of the really pieces of good news, you know, I said over 97% of registered voters cast their ballots in jurisdictions with a paper record. Every one of those battleground states have paper records that can be verified. They can be counted and recounted and audited to ensure accuracy. And so, yes, we are very focused, not just on November 5th. We're very focused on November 6th, and frankly, up until January 6th, when the Congress will come together to certify the vote. And we have to recognize that our foreign adversaries who are intent on undermining American confidence and the legitimacy of elections, on stoking partisan discord, they absolutely will be focused on that period following the election to take advantage of the time period between polls closing and the certification of the vote as an ideal window to undermine voter confidence in the outcome of elections. And that's why we need to come together as Americans to resist this disinformation that our foreign adversaries are absolutely going to be pushing and amplifying specifically to weaken our nation. And so we're very focused on that period of time. You will hear us actively talking about what we are seeing from the national level, but it'll be really important to hear from the state and local election officials who are charged with protecting and preserving the vote.
Before I let you go, you said something that really struck me earlier. You said that our democracy is very fragile right now. How fragile? Tell me about that.
Well, you know, I first raised my hand to support and defend the Constitution of the United States just after my 18th birthday. I went off to West Point inspired by my father, who was a Vietnam veteran, enlisted soldier, and then spent the next 21 years of my life serving in uniform, serving downrange in places like Bosnia and Haiti, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, fundamentally believing in the greatness of our nation, believing in the freedoms, the civil rights, the civil liberties, and what makes America, our values, the greatest nation on the face of the earth. I have never seen the level of distrust in America, across America, in fundamental things like our democratic institutions. I have never seen the level of partisan rancor that exists, not just here in Washington, but frankly, across America. And that's why I worry. I mean, democracy is precious. We are the greatest nation on the face of the earth, and we are an example for other nations across the world. But we are at a point where, frankly, I think our foreign adversaries are having some success in their strategy of undermining American trust in democracy and stoking partisan discord. And so I think we really need to take this opportunity in this momentous election, perhaps the most consequential election of our lifetimes and maybe ever, to come together and to unite as Americans, resisting the forces of our foreign adversaries that want to shred our institutions, that want to tear us apart, come together and protect and preserve this incredible democracy that, you know, has been around for almost 250 years. But this is something we all need to work together to do.
Jen Easterly, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Jen Easterly is the director of CISA. And that is it for our show today. What Next TBD is produced by Evan Campbell, Patrick Fort, and Shayna Roth. Our show is edited by Rob Gunther. Alicia Montgomery is vice president of audio for Slate. And TBD is part of the larger What Next family. And if you liked what you listened to today, the single best way to support our show is to join Slate Plus. You get all your podcasts like this one ad-free. All right, we'll be back next week with more episodes. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Thanks for listening. Have you heard about Doublenomics? It's okay if you haven't. It's extremely niche and practiced by Discover. Here's an example. Discover automatically doubles the cash back earned on your credit card at the end of your first year with Cashback Match. That means with Discover, you could turn $150 cash back to $300. It pays to Discover. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Save on family favorites at Safeway. This week at Safeway, get 18-count Lucerne cage-free eggs, large, grade AA, for only $3.47 each with digital coupon limit one. Plus, get mega packs of bone-in USDA choice beef New York strip steak for $7.97 per pound with digital coupon. Limit two packages. Also this week at Safeway, 23 to 29.5-ounce boxes of Kellogg's Giant Size cereal or buy two, get three free when you buy five. Member price. Visit Safeway.com or head in-store for more details.